Well, welcome again and happy Easter. We are so glad you are here to celebrate with us in this 10 a.m. service. You get to be the meat of the sandwich between the 8:30 and the 11:30, or should we say the whipped cream between the hot cross buns that you'll get after the service. But we are celebrating this morning the resurrection of Jesus, and in case this is all new or unfamiliar to you, that's what Easter is all about. That after his death on a cross on Friday, on the third day, on Sunday morning, Jesus rose from the dead and appeared to his disciples and others. And so we're going to invite you on a journey this morning with the help of some music to examine our Easter theme this year of appear. We're also going to invite you into the journey we've been on as a church, off and on for a year now, going through a book of the Bible called 1 Corinthians. And as you saw in that video, for the next few months, we'll be looking at the themes of death and grief and resurrection through chapter 15 of this book. And we hope that you'll join us for these big questions that touch our lives, such as what happens after we die? Why is grief so hard? What does it mean to have a resurrected body, and more? And where we are in this book, chapter 15, is where we find our theme for this morning, reading verses 3 through 8 of 1 Corinthians 15. And it says this: "For what I," and that's the Apostle Paul, author of this book to the church in Corinth, "for what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried." And that's where we stopped on Good Friday. But today we continue with the good news that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, that's Peter, and to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep, meaning died. Then he appeared to James, that's the brother of Jesus, then to all the apostles. And last of all, he appeared to me also as to one abnormally born. As we talked about Friday, Paul here is communicating the absolute essentials of the Christian faith, that Christ died for our sins, he was buried, and then he rose again on the third day. Jesus' resurrection is the linchpin on which everything else rests in the Christian faith. It is absolutely the central event in the Christian story. And what is that story? Well, it begins with the appearance of creation, a good world that God had created for human beings to enjoy and to reflect God's image and goodness. But in the freedom that God gave us to enjoy his good creation, we instead chose to rebel against God, to turn our backs on him. And so what we call sin appears. And we reflected on our sin on Good Friday, and we left that service feeling maybe the darkness and weight of our sin, where death reigned. As Romans 5 says, sin entered the world, so sin appears. And death came through sin, and in this way, death came to all people because all sinned. Therefore, death reigned and brought condemnation for all people. But as the Scriptures foretold and predicted, eventually Christ appears in the flesh. Verse 3 of chapter 15 tells us that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. 1 John 3:5 similarly says, "But you know that he appeared." Why? So that he might take away our sins. But Christ's death on the cross for our sins, it was not the end of the story. Out of the darkness and death of Friday came the light and the life of Sunday. And this song tells the story of those events from Christ's earthly appearance and then death, only to then appear as resurrected, overcoming death and sin in victory. Thank you.
There was a moment when the lights went out, when death had claimed its victory. The King of Love had given up his life. The darkest day in history. There on a cross they made for sinners. For every curse his blood atoned. One final breath and it was finished. But not the end we could have known. For the earth began to shake, and the veil was torn. With sacrifice was made, as the heavens roared. All hail King Jesus.
song implies, the story shifted from the darkest day in history to the greatest day in history, when Christ appears, but now resurrected. Verse 4 tells us that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. And then Paul lists the people, including over 500 women and men. And my purpose this morning isn't to provide an apologetic, meaning defense, for the resurrection. And we will expand and go deeper into all these topics as this series goes on. And we invite you to join us for that. But it's important that we know and understand that the bodily resurrection of Jesus is one of the most well-attested to events in history. There is no other explanation for the rise and explosion of Christianity following this event than the bodily resurrection of Jesus. Theologian N.T. Wright says that it is, quote, impossible to account for the early Christian belief in Jesus as Messiah without the resurrection. It just doesn't make any sense for why people would change everything they once believed and literally start dying for their faith if they didn't actually see Jesus appear to them. Notice how Paul gives all the evidence of witnesses to the resurrection here. I mean, he would have talked to these people. They could verify what he's saying. This is not some later development, but Paul is actually saying, hey, go talk to some of these people. Many of them are still alive as I write this, who saw him appear. The Christian faith is based on a verifiable historical event. And for those of you who are here who are maybe not believers in Jesus and his resurrection, and we're glad you're here. We welcome seekers and people with questions, and you don't have to believe first to belong here. But I want to at least pose the thought that something must have happened. I mean, there were hundreds of movements like this that came and went in the Roman world. Thousands of people, including hoped-for heroes and deliverers, were crucified in the ancient world. So why are we still talking about just one? Jesus, 2,000 years later. Because his disciples saw a dead man come to life. And that changed everything. After Jesus died a humiliating death on the cross as a crucified criminal, the movement should have died out. I mean, the disciples, they were discouraged. They went into hiding. They saw Christ died, and they saw him buried. They thought it was all over. The movement had no signs of making it until they witnessed the resurrected Lord themselves. There's no other way to explain the change. And there's no other way to explain what many in this room have experienced and what billions, yes, billions have currently and throughout history experienced, that Jesus is alive. That he's present in our midst, in our daily lives, in our prayers, and in our hearts. For Christ not only appears to those Paul lists here, but Christ continues to appear to us, just like he did to Paul. Paul says here in verse 8, and last of all, he appeared to me also. And one of the most convincing pieces of evidence from history is that you have this man, Paul, whom we know was persecuting Christians, actually putting Christians to death, as he alludes to in verse 9 here. That is, until Christ appeared to him and completely changed his life and convictions about who Jesus is and was and about his death and resurrection and what they mean. And Jesus keeps doing the same today by speaking to our hearts through his Holy Spirit, by changing and transforming lives. And you saw one of those lives baptized this morning, Caitlin. There'll be another one in the next service. And so now, here's their stories. Stories of how Jesus still appears and changes lives today.
My name is Mariah.
Hi, I'm Caitlin.
I was raised as a Jehovah's Witness.
I grew up in a household that didn't immediately follow Jesus' teaching.
When I was 8 years old, my oldest sister, she needed a blood transfusion, which went against our faith.
When I was around 11, I was going to a summer camp, and something was said to me that sort of made me feel that I was unworthy to continue to have my relationship with God.
What transpired from that was us being shunned by our faith and our congregation and our own family.
I felt like I wasn't allowed to believe in God.
My grandmother, who was the matriarch of our family, I still haven't talked to her to this day.
And so for the next 11 years, I was very lost. Like, I mean, a lot of stuff was going wrong. Like, I lost my brother, and there was a lot of addiction in my family and my friends and everything, and then going into my own addictions.
My parents' marriage of 25 years fell apart. There was a lot of suffering in that. My mom, at 49 years old, was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer and given 1 to 3 months to live. And she passed 7 days before my 23rd birthday.
And watching so much pain around me, and I always had this burning desire of, like, there's gotta be more. There's more than this out there. There's more to life.
I was really mad at God. I swung between, on this pendulum between hope and faith and despair and grief.
It was in 2017, I was on an airplane and I was listening to this book and sort of self-reflecting, and all of a sudden I had just something clicked and I heard these words of, like, I have always been here, you just have not been listening.
At the beginning of this year, I pulled up a church service from Southside Church in Chilliwack. Pastor Mike, he started his service by making a statement of, maybe it's your first time being back in church in a really long time. And maybe that's because instead of being met with love, you were met with judgment. In that moment, I felt power. I felt that God was speaking directly to me. It was very, very incredibly emotional. And it was a moment that I will not forget.
Then I started exploring Jesus and his teachings and what he really came here for, and just what he wants for us and what he came to teach us. That has changed my life significantly.
My life has changed in quite a few ways, rather drastically and overnight.
Like, the ways of how I show up, how I wake up in the morning, how I treat my family, how I show up as a mom, how I show up in my work. It doesn't feel as scary and alone anymore.
My pain now has purpose. I walk in faith now.
It's making me more humble.
No longer doubt. I no longer waver. Every experience that may have once been viewed as a negative experience, I now see as a puzzle piece in the making of my life and in God's plan for me.
That's the missing piece. And I was like, oh my gosh, I have been guided this whole time.
I feel that Jesus is leading me to a better life.
Whatever I'm meant to do, I want to do something as big as I can for the sake of God.
And so here I am, trying to explore my faith further, and I found community here at Oceanside, willing to welcome me with open arms.
I just can't wait to see what else is meant for me to come.
I feel that I've been guided to this purpose, and it's very, very important for me to proclaim my faith today.
So, that's that.
Mariah will be baptized in our next service. But I want to quickly share two more important parts of the Christian story that we must know. First, that we will appear before him. 2 Corinthians 5:10 tells us that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account for our life. And 1 John 2:28 encourages us to continue in him so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. And what the rest of chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians is really about is that because Christ was resurrected, so shall we be. Because he rose, we can have faith that he will also raise us. And at that time, we will appear before him. And when will that time be? Well, it's when Christ will appear again. Scripture says, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. The Bible also says in 2 Timothy 4:8 that all those who long for his appearing, meaning those who are living their lives with and for Jesus, will receive a crown of righteousness, not because of what we have done, but because of what Christ has done for us and our faith in him. And so are you ready and longing for when he appears again? For those who are, it will be the greatest day we could ever imagine, as this song describes.
Savior.
your eyes to the heavens. Our King will return for his own. Every knee will bow, every tongue will shout. All glory to Jesus.
Little taste of heaven. I'm going to invite you to stay standing, and I want to ask, are you ready for that day? Are you waiting for the day when Christ, our life, appears? 1 Peter 5:4 says, and when the chief shepherd, that is Jesus, appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. So I want to take a moment now, if you will, to just bow our heads and close our eyes. I realize this might be new for some, but I promise you, Christ will appear to your heart through his Spirit this morning if you will allow him. So I ask you to consider this all-important question. Have you put your faith in what Christ has done in dying for your sins? And will you be ready to appear before him when he appears again? Have you experienced the Easter call to come alive to resurrection life? The Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved, meaning you will appear with him and receive the gift of eternal life. This is not an intellectual assent, but it's a deep-hearted commitment. And you don't have to have it all figured out. But are you willing to start on that journey of faith today of living for Jesus and his kingdom? Today, April 20th, can be the day you say, Christ appeared to me and saved me. And so in a moment, I'm going to ask if you want to make that commitment for the first time. And you have to start somewhere. This is just a sign, not for any other reason, except that it's important to acknowledge outwardly what happens to us inwardly. That's what baptism is all about as well. It just helps it make it more real to us to kind of stick and cement this moment in our life. And so if you'd like to do that in a second, I'm going to ask you to lift your hand up, not to me, but to God. No one is saying some gesture is required in any way to receive God's gift of forgiveness. It's nothing magical. There's no pressure to do so. But it's just that I know it might help you mark this as a milestone day in your life. And we'd like to celebrate that with you. And maybe you once did this, but lost your way, lost sight of the fact that one day Christ will appear again and we will appear before him. And you feel this Easter, it's important to publicly recommit yourself. Come back to Jesus in this moment. And I invite you to do that as well. So right now, if you're saying, I want to receive the appearance of Jesus through the life he lived for me, the death he died for me, and the grave he conquered for me. And I believe he appeared then and will appear again. Just lift your hand to heaven right now. We're all here to support you and to cheer you on. His hands going up on my right, 5 or 6, on my left, another 5, 6 more over here. Thank you for your faith. God sees your faith. God sees your hand. Thank you. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Let's welcome these people into the forever family of God. Thank you, Lord.